We have business meeting tonight, but I don't want that to even be part of this service right now. That's why we always close in prayer, and then we'll open business meeting up. And if you need to leave for business meeting, that we understand that. But we want you to be here for the Word of God, and I think God always has something for us. A couple of years ago, I was at the airport in Belize, and there was a couple that came in the airport, and they were very excited. And they were excited in a panic kind of way. They were on a cruise ship, and they had got a message while they were on a cruise ship that a family member was really sick to death. And so they got off the cruise ship in Belize and came to the airport, and they were going to get a plane to fly on to America. And when they were there in the ticket line, the ticket person asked for their passport. And they said, "We don't have a passport." The ticket guy said, "Well, how did you get in Belize?" "Well, we came by the way of a cruise ship." "Well, how'd you get on the cruise ship?" "Well, all you had to have to get on the cruise ship was a voter's registration card or a driver's license. Didn't have to have a passport at that time." And he said, "I'm sorry, ma'am, you cannot fly out of this country without a passport." And they said, "You don't understand." And they said, "You must have a passport." Now, they ended up sending them people off to American Embassy, and I don't know what happened. But I was thinking about this last night, about the must. You know, there are some musts in the Bible. Some musts. I want to share three musts with you tonight. And I think it'll cover all of us that's in this building tonight. Every single one of us needs to know these three musts. Some of these musts you may have already taken care of. But one of them, I know you haven't finished yet, okay? And I know you haven't taken care of it yet because you're still sitting there looking at me, all right? So I'm going to give you three musts tonight. First of all, go with me to the book of Luke 24. Luke 24. I don't have my Bible all good and marked today, so I'm going to have to Bible drill with you. All right, so we'll take our time. We'll get there. If you don't have the Bible with you, you don't want to read them with us, write them down. Go home and read these. But the first thing I want you to see about the Bible, because if I'm talking to anybody about salvation or anything, talking to a lady coming home, Rochelle's got lately where she just drives and I talk on the phone, because if I'm talking on the phone driving, it's just not good for anybody. And so she drives now, I talk on the phone. And I leave the hospital and I'm on the phone with another lady, and she's telling me all these problems that's going on in her life, and she says the devil's telling me this, and I'm trying to tell her, "Yeah, but the devil's a liar." Isn't he, Paul? Is the devil a liar? And I said, "God can't lie." So I said, "You got to make a choice in your life who you're going to listen to. You can listen to the devil who lies to you, or you can listen to God who don't lie." And the question I asked her in the beginning of the conversation was, "Do you believe the Bible?" See, to me, this is all about believing the Bible or not. I cannot have a conversation to anybody about salvation or anything else unless they believe the Bible, because all I can do is base my answers on the Bible. And if they say, "I don't believe the Bible," then Scott, my conversation's over. How can you talk to somebody about God who won't believe His Word? Now, if they'll come to the point, they'll say, "Well, okay, I will believe the Bible." Then, hey, we got something we can talk about. But here's something about the Bible. Do you know that the Scripture must satisfy itself? The Bible must satisfy itself. I'm going to give you a verse that maybe will help you understand that, okay? Luke 24, because I know that sounded complicated when I wrote it down. And it still does to me, but I believe it's the truth. And I think you'll understand when I read this verse to you. Luke 24, 44. He said unto them, now, if you got a Bible that's got red letters, this is red letters in your Bible. And who's speaking every time we see red letters? Jesus. Okay. So that's who's speaking. "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things, what? What's the next word? Must. We're going to talk about must tonight, okay? All things must be fulfilled which were written in. Now he's going to give you three things. The law of Moses, that's one. The prophets, that's two. And the Psalms, that's three, concerning me. Who's me? Jesus. Okay. Jesus says to these people that the Bible is going to say some things in the Old Testament that has to be fulfilled in the New Testament. The Bible must satisfy itself. If he said something in the Old Testament and it hasn't been fulfilled or didn't get fulfilled, then the Bible's not true. Boy, this bunch is on it. I'm moving over here. Listen, if there's one thing in this Bible that's not true, let's pack it up, quit this. It's either all right or none of it's right. It has to be that way when it comes to the Bible. Preacher, you can't be... Yes, you got to be that way. I want to show you the law. I want to show you the prophet. And I want to show you the psalm. And I'll show you how that in the Old Testament said this, New Testament was like this, it was fulfilled. Here's the first one, Exodus 12. That would be the law of Moses, Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 12, he's teaching him about the Passover. And he said in the Passover, they will have to be a lamb, the first lamb, without what? Spot or blemish. And that will fulfill the covenant or the covering, so when the death angel passes by, the blood will be over the doorstep. Now, if you have never read that story, you need to go there and read that. But if you go to John 1, John chapter 1, I'll just turn there with you. I'm almost already there. John chapter 1. Look at verse 29. Beautiful picture. John the Baptist is doing what? What would John the Baptist be doing? Baptizing. That's why he got his name, okay? John the Baptizer. He's baptizing. And this coming down the road, he sees this figure, the silhouette of a man walking down the road. And this is what he said. The next day, John said, verse 29, John 1, said Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, that what? Which taketh away the sins of the world. So, was it fulfilled? Had to be a lamb in the Old Testament. Jesus became the Lamb of God that would take away the sin. That fulfills our law, okay? Now let's look at the prophets. Go to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7, Old Testament. And I think you'll remember this when I read it. Isaiah 7. Isaiah 7, 14. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel. Have you ever read that anyplace else in the Bible? All right? Write yourself a note. You can write it there or write it on a piece of paper. Go to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, chapter 1. Verse 23. See if this sounds familiar to you. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. He said it over there. He fulfilled it over here. God did that in the law. He did that in the prophets. And He said in the Psalms. Now, you've read the Psalms. Is there anything about Jesus in the Psalms? Go to Psalms 22. Psalms 22. Psalms 22. Verse number 1. See if this sounds familiar to you. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Where have you heard that before? Christ on the cross. Matthew, go with me. Matthew 27, 46. Matthew 27, 46. I'm not going to do this to you all night like that. I'm just warming you up. Okay? Because I know you come in sleepy. I could tell by looking at you, and I'm trying to get you warmed up. Matthew 27, 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, what? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said it over there. It happened over here. He said in the book of Luke that the Scripture must be fulfilled. Must be fulfilled. Was it fulfilled? It was. Even the words of the thief on the cross, if you read in Psalms 22, you'll see the words of the thief on the cross, remember me. And Jesus, we hear it in the book of Matthew. The Bible must be fulfilled. Now, He told us, listen to me, He told us that Jesus would come again. I'm going to tell you something. If He did it all this way to begin with the first time, I believe the second coming's a no-brainer to me. If He said He's going to come the first time He came, He proved that, and He said He's coming again, He's coming. He's coming. Now, we can sit here and doubt it. We can put it off. We can talk about it as if it's 1,000 or 2,000 or 4,000 years away, and it could be. Because the Bible said only the Father knows. But I can tell you this, He gave us some signs to look for, and I can't imagine it going to be that much longer. He's coming. And we've got to be ready. But He said you must realize the Scripture must be fulfilled. Now the second thing, service must be judged. Now I told you there's something for everybody. And I guarantee there's not a person in this building tonight who has already fulfilled this must. Are you ready? 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, let's go there. Just got to read one place this time. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. I want everybody who can to get there. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Let me just go ahead and read verse 8, because verse 8 is a beautiful verse and we skip this a lot of time. We are confident, I say willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, a lot of people think that, I've heard that people believe in soul sleeping. And if you walk through cemeteries, you'll see on old stones especially, a sleeping Jesus. A sleeping Jesus. Now we got one illustration in the Bible of a man who died and picture of him in heaven. And I can tell you that he was not asleep. He was very conscious. He knew what was going on. Now maybe when they put a sleep on Jesus, they're talking about the physical body. Because truly the physical body lays right out there in the cemetery. But your spirit, your soul, if you're saved, goes to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body, your spirit, is to be what? Read it. Present with the Lord. If you're saved, the minute you breathe your last breath, what? You go to be with the Lord. Immediately. Absent from this body, present with the Lord. Absent, present. We've been to funerals. We know that that corpse is absent of its spirit. Amen? So where's it at? If it's saved, present with the Lord. If it's not saved, it's not hovering, it's not waiting in purgatory, it is in hell. Because the rich man lifted up his eyes being in torment immediately. Wasn't asleep. Wish he could have been, but not. Alright? Now, that's not even the message. That's a commercial. Verse 9. Wherefore we labor. Now listen, this is saved people. It's not talk. If you're in this building, you're not saved, you don't even have to hear this right now. I've got something for you next. But if you're saved, you've got to listen to this. For we, wherefore, verse 9, we labor, that whether present or absent, we might be accepted of Him. Y'all know what it means to be accepted. People to take you in. we want to be accepted by the Lord. Wherefore, verse number 10, for we, what? Must. There's your must. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to the he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Boy, it is so blunt and to the point, you got to get it. Every one of us that are saved must. Not an option plan. I'd just soon skip that one. Can't skip that one. It's a must. You must stand before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone might give an account of the things done in his body. And he said this, all that he's done. He made sure that I understood, I don't have to give an account for Rick. Amen. Don't have to account for Jim. Praise the Lord. But I have to account for Steve. What Steve did in his body. If Steve decided, I think I'll just sleep in today. I got to give an account of that. Don't feel like talking to people today. Got to give account of that. I can convince myself of a lot of things, but I tell you what I convince myself of every single day of my life. I got to stand before God. And I'm a little nervous about that. I'll just be honest with you. Because I got to give an account of everything I've ever done. Only the good stuff, Brother Chuck. Y'all see that? Only the good stuff, it says. Steve, you just got to worry about the good stuff you've done. No, he said whether it's been good or bad. Anybody here done anything bad? Just ask him. Yeah, but you ask forgiveness and God forgives you. Yeah, he does, right? Cast as far as he... You ever heard of the consequence for sin? You know what we do has a ripple effect? Throw a rock in a pond and see if it don't finally get to the other side. What we put off, what we didn't talk to, what we didn't say, whatever we neglected, or what we did do we shouldn't have done, the ripple has done been hit the pond. And you and I have got to give an account of that. There's a song that says there's a payday someday. Now, I'm talking to saved people. You say, well, preacher, yes. We all got to stand. In Bible school, they call it the beamer seat. And I was dealing back in the Roman day, and Paul had to stand before Pilate one time. That was the beamer seat. He had to give an account of what he was and what he believed. Well, I don't know how God will do it. Don't know if he's got screens and projectors. Don't know what he's got. But Jared, I believe everything I did, I got to give account of it. Good or bad. You know what this should cause us to do? Look what it says. I'll help you. Verse 11, yes. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Let me give you a hint of the terror of the Lord, just a minute's worth of hints, okay? Y'all ready? There's a guy who said, I'm not going to go to Nineveh. God said, fine, go to the University of Wales. Jumped in the water, fish ate him, stayed in there 3 days, 3 nights, fish beat him up, hit the ground running. Another guy said, I don't think I want to do it this way, and I mean my family's going to go over here. God said, fine, opened up the earth and swallowed the whole family. His name was Korah. What do y'all think about the terror of the Lord? Huh? Whew. I'd rather have 10 Gary Allens after me as one God. I had. I'd rather have every one of you all mad at me. Walk out here tonight and not even speak to me. I ain't speaking to him. He's a nut. That's fine. You all can be mad, but I don't want God to be. I'm more afraid of God than I am 400 Hebronites. Huh? I am. And the Bible says here we've got to know the terror of the Lord. What He can do. He is a just God. He's the God that loved you and saved you. But you know what? He wants you to live a life that pleases to Him now. The Bible said you got bought with a price. We're going to talk about that right now, okay? Here's the third must. Go with me to the book of John. And y'all know this one, I know, but we're going to read it a little bit. Here's the third must. I don't know. I'm sure that probably nobody else in this building has done this, but I confess about stuff I've done as a kid. And I did this as a kid. On 27 going toward Burnside, they had what they called the 27 twin drive-ins. They're two drive-ins. They faced just like this. And I don't know what it cost, but we didn't have lots of money. And what we would do is, we would pile in a trunk of a car. As many as we could get in the trunk of a car. And pull that trunk down. And the guys would drive us in. And eventually come back and let us out. But one night, I happened not to be the guy in the trunk this time. And the guy stopped us. One of the guys in the back thought we'd done crossed the ticket booth, and he was giggling in the trunk. The guy at the ticket booth heard him giggling. And he walked back there and he said, "Open the trunk." Well, we opened the trunk and there was five guys just looking at him. And the guy said this, "You're welcome to come in, but you must have a ticket. You must have a ticket." I believe tonight, with all honesty, there are people piled into churches all over this land and country thinking that their church is going to get them into heaven. There's never, ever been a church that ever got anybody into heaven. And Jesus said Himself in Matthew, there's going to be many that's going to say, "Lord, Lord, haven't I prophesied? Haven't I done this? And haven't I done that?" And He's going to say, "Sorry, I never knew you. You didn't have a ticket." Here's the must of John chapter 3. I've got to get you to see this, and then we will have an invitation. "There was a certain man of the Pharisees, verse 1, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, 'Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God, because no man can do the miracles that Thou doest except God be with him.' Jesus answered and said, 'Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto Him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you," what class? Ye must be born again. Now, Jesus is talking to a guy that's very, very smart. And sometimes smart people are the hardest people to talk to because they ain't got no common sense. And I think Jesus started out with common sense with him. He didn't talk about the vast skies and the galaxies, Josh. He talked about something simple. He said, the only way that you get into this world is being born naturally. You was packed in water. You was in paradise for 9 months. The closest thing to paradise on earth is in the mother's womb in a sack of water. It is. You get to eat all you want to eat. The temperature is always the same. And you got the easiest ride in the world. Mom's bouncing around, but baby's just cool right there. And then reality hits. Now listen, I'm gonna make this easy tonight. If you do not have earthly parents, then you don't have to be born again. I'll let you off the hook. If you don't have earthly parents, then I'm going to let you off the rest of this. You don't have to be born again. And people in the world are crazy. They just don't think. People talk about losing the salvation. And you know what? To lose your salvation, now hear this, you got to be unborn. Yeah, but no, you can die. Well, death is not being unborn, is it? Is it, Doug? No, you can't get unborn, can you, Jared? You did all this schooling and stuff about cattle. Can you get unborn? No, you can't get unborn. So if you get born and you get born again, the worst thing that can happen, Nancy, is you die. Right? I can't get unborn. I'm just trying to make sure that everybody agrees. Dixie, can you get unborn? Nancy said no. This guy said no. Can you get unborn? Can you get unborn? It's impossible. So, let's just end that conversation. Well, I once was saved, but now I'm not. Well, you got unborn somehow. Right? Come on. Patrick, am I right? Okay. Just making sure. I know these guys, they deal with cattle and stuff. And the only way that you cannot be born is to be unborn. And I don't know if I'm sure that's not possible. Now, he said you got to be born again. What does it mean to be born again? Because he said, what did he say? Let me make sure I didn't misread this. Marvel not, verse 7, I said unto you, you must be born again. He wants to know, how do I get to heaven? And Jesus said, it's simple, you got to be born again. How do I get born again? And he said, do I go back in my mother's womb and get born again? And Jesus said, Nicodemus, it's crazy. He said, you're born physically, that which is born of flesh. He said, water. That's not baptism. Listen, that's not baptism. He said, that's flesh. You're born of the flesh. You're born physically. I've seen three of my children born, two C-sections, one natural. And I'm telling you, water was all part of every one of them. It's part of it. But he said, you've got to be born again. He said, how do I do that? And Jesus told him, he said, the Spirit is like the wind. You can't see it, and you can't hear it, but you can feel it, and you know it's there. You see the results. So I want to help you tonight. How do I know I need to be born again? You're sitting right in this building tonight, and you said, well, I've never been born again. You're at the right place tonight. What he says you've got to do is this. You've got to believe that Jesus fulfilled the Bible. That's easy. You either believe it or you don't believe it. It's not discussable. It's either yes, He did, or no, He did. He is the Lamb or He's not the Lamb. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. The payment for sin. Adam and Eve did what in the garden? Sin. And you know how they paid for that sin? $500 a piece. No. God killed animals, took the skins and put on them to cover their nakedness. God killed animals, shed blood to cover sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Now, Jesus was the Lamb that took away the sins of the world. He died so that every one of you would accept it, your sins would be wiped away. What a beautiful thing. Now here you are tonight, and you said, I've not been born again. How did I get born again? How did I get born? How did I get this spiritual birth? It's simple. You accept Jesus Christ. You say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I believe Jesus died for my sins. And you believe it. You repent of your sin. Lord, I'm sorry for my sins, and I'm asking Jesus to save me. And listen to me, if you've not done that, you've not been born again. And trust me, if you're sitting in here and you're not from another planet, you've got to be born again. Because every human that's ever been born in this world that can trace themselves back to Adam has to be born again to get to heaven. You've got to be born again. I don't know anybody's heart in this building tonight. I don't know your spiritual condition. I know one thing, that everybody here has been born once. I see you. I'm looking right at you, and I can tell you tonight that you all have been born once. But Jesus said you must be born again. Have you done that? If you haven't, tonight you need to come and get born again. This is the time to do it. Not tomorrow, not after. Right now is the time to get born again. We'll show you the Word if you're not sure. But I want you to know tonight, this is the time. This is the place. Let's stand together.